In Australia, a bandit or an outlaw is called a bushranger. One of Australia's most infamous bushranger was a man named Ned Kelly. Ned Kelly was a wild young bushranger.
Initially, the idea was just go out to Kelly Country and just explore the countryside, try and capture a sense of place, because I generally do landscape photography. And along the way, I kept coming across all these sort of iconic figures of Ned Kelly everywhere, you know, and people using them in, you know, for trying to sell things or just for decoration. The more I explored, the more I found. And so the exhibition is basically, I guess you could say there's two parts to it. One is just this series of photographs of the little Ned Kellys and the large Ned Kellys I found along the way. And then there's pictures of areas where the Kelly story unfolded, you know, just in Kelly Country itself, particularly around Mansfield, Beechworth, Benalla. So it's kind of like in two sort of parts.
I read on one of the captions that you took all of these photos, or most of these photos, on a toy camera.
Yeah, that's correct. They're all taken with little plastic toy cameras, mostly a little Holger. For those who don't know them, yeah, it's hard to explain. They're just a little toy camera that takes film, of course. And the beauty of them is they have a plastic lens which vignettes at the edges, not just in darkness but also in softness of focus. And they just have a look of their own. And I think there's something to be said about working with film generally anyway, regardless of whether it's a toy camera or not. I've been working digitally for some time, but I'm starting to rediscover the joys of film. There's just something about the grain, the nature of the colour. I really enjoy working with it.
Why did you decide to use a toy camera?
Well, I think because right at the start when I first went out there, I was playing with this thing that I'd bought anyway, and I just really liked the look of the pictures. I guess there's some kind of nostalgia with it and a little bit of, oh, I don't know if you call it mystery or something like that. It just gives it a bit of a different sort of a look, I suppose, and a nice, crisp, clean photograph.
What initially motivated you, or I suppose inspired you, to explore Ned Kelly and the Kelly Country?
Well, I'm originally from Adelaide. I've been living in Melbourne for 3 years, and I've always been, like a lot of people, I'm fascinated by the Kelly story. And just went to visit, really, didn't think too seriously about a project such as this, but from some of the photographs I just happened to take, I could see there was something in this and I should explore it. So that's what I did, and I spent a couple of years going back and forth, you know, staying in the various towns and having a pretty good time of it, actually. It's very nice out there.
I can imagine. Let's take a look at one of the images you've got up here. It's okay. Called Jerilderie Race Club, and I found it quite humorous because it's just a little bit, a little Ned Kelly head on the top of the finish line sign. How did you come across this one?
Well, we were in Jerilderie. I was there with a friend of mine, and we were just exploring Jerilderie because I wanted to take photographs there for the exhibition, and found the old Jerilderie Race Club, which I guess still gets used occasionally. And we're just walking around, and from a distance, I said to my friend, you know, that's the thing on top of the finish line sign there. It sort of looks like a Ned Kelly helmet, but of course it wouldn't be, you know. But as closer we got, we soon realised that, yes, it was, in fact, a Ned Kelly helmet on top of the Jerilderie Race Club sign, which I found quite amusing.
And, Eric, for those that aren't familiar with the history of Ned Kelly in Jerilderie, what did you find out along the way?
Well, I found out I'd been there previously and there weren't too many indications of Ned Kelly's history in Jerilderie, but was quite surprised this time that there's a lot. I think in the past I might have been a bit embarrassed about the Kelly story in Jerilderie because the story, as I understand it, is that the New South Wales government had been giving stick to the Victorian government, basically saying if Ned Kelly was here, we would have caught him by now. What's wrong with you? And, of course, this didn't please Ned Kelly very much. And so he and his gang, they crossed the river and held up the town of Jerilderie as a, you know, to stick it up them. And, robbed the bank, and he wrote the famous Jerilderie letter there. And then they crossed back over the river, back into Victoria.
Let's take a walk over here and have a look at a couple of your other pieces. These are some of the, I suppose, location pieces. Can you tell us a little bit about the couple here in front of us?
One is the railway tracks at Glen Rowan. I'm pretty sure this is very close to where Ned Kelly and his gang had people rip up the rails so they could derail the train, the special police train that was coming, I should say, and, take out all the police on that train. The other photograph you're talking about is Coolmore Jail. Now, I'd read somewhere that Ned had spent time at Coolmore Jail, so I travelled out there and found this wonderful old blue stone building, these beautiful old gates. Took a photograph, very pleased with the photograph, and I may have even printed it ready for the exhibition when I read somewhere, no, it's a lie, Ned Kelly never was in the Coolmore Jail. But hey, we're not going to let the truth get in the way of a good story. So it's up here with a little sign saying, contrary to what many believe, Ned was never incarcerated here. But it's still part of Kelly country, and it's still part of the Kelly story, even though it's not true. It's one of those myths, I suppose, which there are many surrounding the Ned Kelly gang story.
And as we can see in your images, many people have used the Kelly image to promote their business and create a landmark in the town.
Yes, that's true. And the interesting thing to me about that is that it's not surprising when you consider how the graphic nature of the armour, particularly the helmet, that it lends itself really well to just graphic design, I suppose. And it's such a powerful image, not just graphically, but in what it represents. I think to a lot of people it represents rebellion. A lot of people it represents something pretty evil and bad. Everybody has their own opinion, of course. But it is a powerful thing as Australians. We see that armour and it's there. You know, we've got our opinion about it. We've got our knowledge of the story. And, yeah, love him or loathe him, he's very much a folk hero. And I really think, although everything that he did was very powerful in itself, but creating that armour really added something that really sticks in our mind in a visual way as well as the actual story.
Eric, it's a debate that divides many in the community. Where do you stand on the issue now that you've explored Ned Kelly and his history over a couple of years in depth?
I don't really stand, I sit. I sit on the fence. I think he was had a very, very strong personality and a very forceful personality. I think he was extremely intelligent, but I think he might have been a bit misguided about what he was trying to achieve in the way that he went about it. It's very unfortunate that people died in the process. And I think there's a lot to be said about the Victorian police at the time. But basically, I sit on the fence, you know. I never met the guy, so I can't really pay a thorough judgment. But reading the history, to me, he is, in all honesty, I have to say, he's a bit of a hero.